Father, thank you for your presence here with us today. Lord, I pray for a hunger inside all of us, Lord, a hunger to know you more closely. Lord, a hunger to hear from you this morning. May your Holy Spirit deliver the message to each and every heart in here this morning. May nothing hinder what you want to do with our lives this morning. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to be in John chapter 3. It's good to be back. Sometimes preparing a message and everything, sometimes it can wear on you. Sometimes you feel stressed, I think it's good to have some other people come and preach here sometimes. I guess you can either decide, well, you want me back or you want to fire me and get one of them. And either way, God's will be done. But I was on my way to church this morning and I told Hayden, I said, I'm glad to be going to Coop Prairie this morning. I'm glad to be going to church. It's good to be home and it's good to be back here and with my family. You guys are my family driving around, you see a lot of signs, about God. We run into some other Christians throughout our trip, but there's just nothing like being at home, and we had a good time, but I'm glad to be back. What I've been thinking about, I've got a whole list of things in my phone of what God's kind of been speaking to me over the last couple of weeks and prayer and everything. I title every message. You guys don't know that, but I title every message that I preach. And today's message would be titled Living Radical. So hopefully as we get into this, it'll become evident why I titled this message this. But John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" What got me going with this is that's a radical teaching right there. Okay. That's something that was so out of the norm, out of the Old Testament to the New Testament for Jesus to say, you must be born again. Even today, when you say that to people, and if they've never heard the Word of God, and if you told someone, you gotta be born again, they'd probably look at you cross-eyed and crazy and say, what are you talking about, born again? That's a radical teaching, to be born again. How can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. That's what most people would think. What are you talking about here, Jesus? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So sitting here this morning, I can look out at all of you and I can say and hope and think you're a Christian. But I really don't know. I mean, people surprise me. Even famous ministers and the lies and the deceit that was going on underneath, people within our own body have surprised me. I don't know. I hope you're full of the Spirit this morning. I hope you have the Holy Spirit. I hope you've been born again. But this is really a radical teaching of saying that I once lived this life, but now I'm born into a new life. Now I live differently. Now there's something different about me. God said in Revelation 21:5, he says, And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." God said, "I'm making everything new." Jesus is saying, being born again, "I'm making everything new." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new thing has come." Born again. The old has passed away. The new has come. So I'm asking you this morning, have you been born again? Not did you start going to church. Not you put down the bottle or you put down the pills. Not, but are you born again? Are you a new creation? Is there something new about you? Is there a moment in your life that you can look back and go, "Wow, something happened. I changed directions. I changed my thoughts. Life's different now." If there's not that moment in your life that you can look back and you can go, "Something changed. I can't explain it. Something changed. I have a different feeling now. I don't want to be the person I was." If there's not that moment in your life, then I would tell you right now, before altar call, right now, come up to these altars and begin to cry out to Jesus and begin to pray. Don't wait. Because Jesus just said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You're not going to make it unless you've been born again. Are you a new creation? Is there something different about you? You know, every year when we open up our swimming pool, there's been some years that it's nasty and it's bad, like green and frogs and dead little critters in there. And our swimming pool has been so bad a couple years that I just drained all the water out and I got in and with a sponge and a bucket of soap and a hose. And it's been so bad before that I've even had to use a pressure washer on it. And I got in there and had to scrub it and pressure wash it and clean it because it was so filthy. So I drained out all the water and I filled it with new water. You know, when I was thinking about that for us as Christians is that, you know, before we were saved, we were so filthy and so dirty and so yucky that we just need a draining and a fresh filling of some new water. Have you experienced that? Is that your life today? Have you been filled with that clean water? But you know, a strange thing that happens with that swimming pool. If I don't turn on the pump and that water don't start flowing, you know what happens in just a short amount of time? It begins to get dirty again. And it begins to get, if water's just sitting, it gets stagnant. And algae and bugs and spiders and scorpions and all those things fall in and we even get tadpoles in there swimming around and you get frogs. That's what can happen to that new water if I don't take care of it. My mom and them have an above ground pool and they have a mustard algae like I have. They had a hole in their liner. They threw away their liner, got a new liner, cleaned everything and just filled it up last week. And their pool went like 2 days, something happened, and it didn't get the proper chemicals. And guess what? The mustard algae's back. They're so frustrated. 2 days without the proper chemicals, and a foreign substance is already in the water. You know what I think's happened with many of us? Is that we can look back to a time in our life when we were born again. But we've kind of become stagnant. And our pool water's not been circulating through the pump too well. and we've not been getting the proper chemicals inside of us, and that's how some of us, our walk with God has become. And sometimes with that pool, when it gets real bad, I have to pour in a big bunch of chlorine, and you call it shocking. And when you shock the pool, if you put in enough chlorine, it kills everything out, and the water gets real cloudy, and then before you know it, it's perfectly clear again, and it's beautiful. But it takes that shock, it takes that radical chemical input into it in order for it to be clean and beautiful once again. And church, I would tell you this morning that we need to be careful that our walk with God, that maybe there's that point in our life, we can look back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, that we were born again, and that we know that Jesus changed our life. But, oh, do we need to be careful that we haven't become that stagnant water that's allowing the gunk and the mold and in our terms, the criticism, the anger, the jealousy, the garbage of this world growing in our lives, because we're not getting the proper chemicals in us, the Word of God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. I got my big cup today, sorry. I need a drink. Amanda gave me that. Thank you, Amanda. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. This is radical teaching here. Wait a minute, God, I know you. I believe in you. But he's saying, you're just lukewarm. You're just stagnant. You're just sitting, floating along in life. You're not really for me. You're not really against me. You're just floating along in your life. So I'm about to spit you out. You know, I believe everybody in here that I'm looking at this morning is a believer in Jesus Christ. But are we walking with Jesus Christ? Are we living our day-to-day lives with Jesus Christ? Do we have that radical walk of being hot, of being born again, of living each and every day for Jesus Christ? Or have we just become lukewarm? See, I think oftentimes in our lives, we're just floating along. We're not really sinning. We're not really living in rebellion. But we're really not seeking. We're really not listening for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Is this hitting anybody this morning, or am I alone in this? You know, because this can happen to me too. This message is as much for me, because sometimes you just want to live, so to speak. You're tired, you're worn out, you've worked hard, you're mowing, you're tending the garden, you're doing all these things. And you want to watch some television. You want to play some video games. You want to go shoot baskets with the guys. Whatever. How quickly, though, we can become lukewarm. How quickly the radicalness of being born again, the radicalness of being on fire for God, can just slip right through our hands and be gone. Where are you at this morning? No games, no act, no putting on the false religious face. Where's your heart at this morning? When was the last time you said, whether I feel like it or not, I'm reading my Bible this morning. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm praying. Anybody ever feel like not praying? Anybody ever feel like not reading your Bible? You're not alone, but what happens is that we don't read our Bible, we don't pray, and before long we're just, I love you, Lord. But I really don't want to hang out with you. It happens. It happens. And where are you at this morning? I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was telling a story, and he's been in the ministry 30 plus years. He started a church, and it's a mega church now, and they have other campuses all throughout the country. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, but wherever you plant me is where I want to stay. He said when he was growing up, that every 3 or 4 years their preacher would leave for one reason or another, and they'd have another preacher. And he said, God, it hurt my heart. It hurt my parents' hearts. You'd see preachers come, preachers go. He said, so wherever you put me, that's where I want to stay. And he's been at his church for 30 plus years, has this huge church. But he was talking about how he'd really given his life to the Lord when he was a teenager. But he was saying about 17, 18, he said he just, 1 week he was on fire, 1 week he was backslidden. 1 week he was on fire, 1 week he was backslidden. And he said, God, why am I struggling so much? Why am I struggling? Why do I feel so good 1 week and then the next week I'm back? When he said this, it kind of reminded me of Tim. He says, I'm going to tell you all this. This is what the Lord spoke to me. And I'm not telling you this is what you are to do, but this is what the Lord spoke to him. And he said he was at he called it a small youth conference. He said about 200 kids was there. And he said the minister was preaching on music. And he said, out of the 200 students there, he was the only one that stood up and went to the front. And he said the Lord told him, get the secular music out of your life. And he said he went home and he said he gathered up all the music he had. And he was laughing and he's like, you know, he's like, I'm talking about like the Carpenters and stuff like that. He said, not this what you would think. And he said, and I burn it. That's radical. He said, I burn it. And he said, you know, from that moment on, things changed with my walk with God. And he said, now, he said, you know, it doesn't take much. And I'm on my knees praying and I realize something's wrong. But he said, it took that radical moment. 200 students sitting here and I'm the only one to stand up and make a commitment. And he said, I burn all that music I had. And he said, I have no problem with it today. And he was just saying for himself that there need to be a change because he kept falling and he kept falling and he couldn't figure out why. And God spoke to him and said, it's your music. Get it out of your life. That's radical. To get something out of your life in the extreme of burning it. I'm getting rid of it. It's no longer going to have a hold on me. But see, he didn't want anything to keep him from God. He didn't want to be a lukewarm Christian. How's your walk with God today? Are you lukewarm? Are you indifferent? Are you radical? Are you living a radical life from a radical teaching of being born again, of being on fire for God? That everybody that you come in contact with, man, there's something that stands out about that person. There's something that I know that they're different. Are we just floating through life? Some of us have been floating in the pool so long, we've become stagnant. Some of us have walked with God so long that there's just something that's changed and we don't have the fire that we once had. We don't have the longing and the desire. God led me as I was studying to go to these verses. Church, If we had any verses for the year, these are it, because he keeps bringing me back. I did not go to these verses on purpose. Isaiah 43:15-19. I started preaching them the first couple weeks of January, and they just keep coming back. It says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. He's saying, that whole army I destroyed. But verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Does anybody remember I've talked about that this year? Not just once, but probably 7 times. I had no idea. Got to go to this verse. I went to this verse and I went, wait a minute, Lord. God's trying to tell us something this morning, church. God's trying to tell you He has something new. He wants to do something new in your life. But He can't do it if we're stagnant, if we're just sitting still, if we're indifferent. And, oh, I can take it. Yeah, I'll go to church today. But I don't expect to hear anything good. Hope He doesn't go over noon. Man, I'm hungry. How many of us, we treat church like we treat work. I gotta go. Get my paycheck. I like my job, but I don't like going. Does that make sense? I'm thankful for my job, but I don't want to be there. That's how many people are about church. I'm thankful for my church family. I love them all. I'm thankful, but I really don't want to go. Tim's going to say the same thing he always says. Kyle's going to say the same thing he always says. Mitzi's going to sing what she sings. Pete's going to get up there and preach. I'll have a nap and we'll be out of there. You might not say it, but thoughts aren't too far from that. Why? Because we've become stagnant. Because we're stuck in a rut. Because God's not alive to us anymore. That's why I prayed. Speak to them, Lord. Holy Spirit, break through. We're so full of the world. We're so full of entertainment. We're so full of life and its problems that we become stagnant. And God's saying, I want to do something new. What if God wants to do something new with you this morning? Are you ready? Are you willing? If you're the only one this morning, like that preacher, that out of 200, there's 25, 30 of us here this morning, but we're too embarrassed. Oh, what will everybody think? God wants to do something with you this morning. God wants to do something with me. God wants to do something with Coop Prairie, because these verses are accident. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Forget about the former things. God wants to do something new with you and me this morning. But where are we at? Are we lukewarm? You know, there's something that we might need. But I hope we don't. But there's something that we might need, and God might need to turn up the heat in our lives. Isaiah 1:24-26 says, therefore the Lord Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel, declares, ah, I will get my relief from my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. I will restore your judges as in the days of old, your counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. It's when God turned up the heat and moves away the dross, and then you will be called the righteous ones. Then you will be called the faithful ones. You know, sometimes it takes tragedy. Sometimes it takes the heat being turned up in our life to realize what's really important, to realize, God, I need you. When we were at Yellowstone, I wish I'd have gave Amanda the picture so she could put it up, but they had these pools, and it looked like little swimming pools everywhere. But they were coppery color, yellow, and different colors. But as they got deeper, some of the water was the bluest, clearest water you've ever seen. It was beautiful. It didn't even look real. And the bluest and the clearest and the prettiest water was the hottest water. Why? Because it burned away any impurities. Anything that wasn't supposed to be there. It burned away. You know, some of us, maybe we need the heat turned up in our life. Some of us, maybe there needs to be that dross coming to the surface of when things don't go your way, when the job's tough, when the marriage is tough, when the kids are tough, when the finances are tough, when whatever it is, what's flowing out of me? What's coming up? Maybe some of us need the heat turned up a little bit in our lives so that those impurities can float to the surface. Malachi 3, verse 2 says, "But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? For He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and purify the silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in former years." The notes in this study Bible says the purifying, so that when God looks down, He can see His reflection in our lives. I know we studied that a long time ago, and there was some difference of opinion about that, but the reality is the more of the impurities that get out of us, the more we'll look like Jesus. The most beautiful pools were the ones that were the hottest. Maybe this morning you're lukewarm. Maybe this morning you need an influx of chemicals in your life. The chemicals are the Word of God. Last couple verses here. 1 Peter 3:1-3 says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth." New birth. We are a new creation. I hope everybody in here that I'm talking to has been born again, that you are a new creation. "Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead" is what Jesus did on that cross. It was what Jesus did rising. His resurrection that has given us hope of new life today. "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times." You know, the stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. You can lose your money, you can lose possessions. I'm so frustrated. I don't know why, but I've kind of got doing it less and less. But I like old coins, and one of the places we was at had a buffalo nickel from, I think it was 1895 or something. And so I bought it because I just like old coins, you know. And when we got home, I went through everything and I couldn't find that stupid nickel. I was so frustrated. I lost it. Our inheritance in heaven. We don't have to worry about losing it on the side of the road someplace. We don't have to worry about where it's at or what it's doing. And I will tell y'all, a couple days later, I did finally find that coin. We don't have to worry about this inheritance. God has kept it for us. Verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Now you may have to suffer some griefs and all kinds of trials. That's turning up the heat. Verse 7 that says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, some of us, we become so stagnant, we need the fire turned up so that our faith may be tested to see whether it's genuine or not. Now, that's not a popular teaching, and some of you may not even agree with it, but that's what the Word of God says. Some of us might need the heat turned up, but I would challenge you this morning, before God has to turn up the heat in your life, why not repent right now? Why not ask God to restore that fire inside of you that you don't want to be lukewarm anymore? Why does it take something tragic? Why does it take some financial problem? Why does it take something going wrong for many of us to get right? Refining by fire. Is your faith genuine this morning? Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Church, I don't know where you're at this morning, but it's a warning message. What we saw in Jesus' life, what we saw in the disciples' life, was radical for the time. To be born again. We saw the moments of lukewarmness and throughout the Bible. God will get your attention. He says, or I'm going to spit you out. We can't blame God for things. And so often we blame God for things when God's saying, where you at? You're not seeking me. You're not reading your word. You're not praying. You call yourself my child. We have no fellowship. The chemicals in the pool that clears it is like God's word in our heart. It'll cleanse us. Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Did everybody hear that? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are we even worried about sinning against God anymore? Lukewarm. Not living radical. Not taking this word of God seriously. Not putting it in our life. And for many of us, I don't know about y'all, but since we've got a pool, I don't like jumping in dirty water to swim. I like jumping in the pool when it's all clean and fresh. And if we know the nephews are coming over to swim, you know what we do? We vacuum the pool. We get it all nice and clean. If people's coming over to swim, why? Because I don't want them to jump in a dirty pool. We make sure the chemicals are just right. How many of you in your life would people look and be worth jumping into your life and being part of your life? Are you so full of algae and dead bugs and bitterness and deceit and anger and hatefulness? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not Oprah. Some people would rather listen to Oprah give them advice than they would the word of God. Some people would rather watch Dr. Phil to learn about raising their kids or their marriage than opening up the word of God. Have we hidden God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him? Are you stagnant? Are you lukewarm this morning? Don't let this afternoon go by without praying, God, forgive me. Let's stand. Let's just bow our heads right now. Okay? And let's just be honest. God, forgive me. Lord, I don't read my Bible like I should. I don't have your word hidden in my heart. Lord, I didn't even really want to come to church this morning, but it's like going to work. I had to. God, forgive me of that. I don't even know where to begin. Has anybody ever been? God, I don't even know where to begin, but God, I'm just blah. But Lord, forgive me of that. And may your refiner fire come and cleanse me once again. Lord, may your fire begin to dwell inside of me once again, and may I no longer be lukewarm. Lord, forgive me because I don't want to be spit out. I don't want to be away from your presence, and I don't want to be cold. Lord, help that radicalness of being born again. When I was first saved, Lord, restore that joy to me once again. Forgive me. Forgive me and help me. Cry out from your heart this morning. And God can do something amazing in your life. Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and sweep through each and every one of us, Lord. Have thy way, Lord. Have thy way. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Allow God to work in your life. Yesterday, I seen a Billy Graham Classic Crusade on. It was a special, so I flipped over to it. And it was just like several different 10, 15 minute things where he was at different secular colleges speaking. He was at Harvard and Yale, but I don't remember the other colleges. It doesn't matter, but there'd be times that he'd stop and pray, and it's scanning the crowd, and some of the people's praying, some of the people sitting there looking like, you can just tell, they don't believe a word he just said. They don't care what he has to say, and they're just ready to get out of there. But he told a story of I believe it was a professor. It was an atheist. Hardcore against Christianity. And Billy Graham asked him, said, have you ever read the New Testament? I missed the beginning. I don't know if he'd read the Old Testament or something. He said, have you ever read the New Testament? He said, as a matter of fact, I had. He says, how can you be so against something when you've never even studied it or researched it? He said, I challenge you. And he said there was other professors around, and they all was, oh, like, this is a challenge now. And he says, in the next 6 months, read the New Testament. I just challenge you. Just read the New Testament in the next 6 months. And I guess he came back and ran into him or whatever. And the guy said, I can't explain it. He said, but I'm no longer an atheist. He said, I can't explain it, but something's changing on the inside of me, and I don't know why. I can't explain it. And Billy didn't go on to say that the man had accepted the Lord or not, but he said something was changing. Something was going on by him just reading God's word. If you're lukewarm this morning, read God's word. See what happens. Just see. You're falling in sin. Read God's word. But when you do, say, Lord, speak to me. You know how many verses we got through in Sunday school this morning? Sometimes Kyle will read a whole chapter, and we got time left over. Sometimes it's a few verses. Today he read one verse, and we talked the whole class about it. One verse. I'm not telling you to go home and read the whole New Testament this week, but open up the Word, say, God, help me. I'm lukewarm. I love you, Lord, but something's wrong. You just be honest. Let's get radical for Jesus. Let's be born again believers. May that impurity, that dross, come to the surface and we repent of it and begin to live for God each and every day. I have no idea what we're talking about tonight, but I'm excited for it. Bible study 6:30. See y'all this evening.